It's been a bit. So today I am doing a solo episode and answering questions that you guys submitted over on Instagram. We're going to talk finances, communication, repairing after there was an argument in front of the kids, self-care, child support, makeup routine, and wellness. There's lots in here. Let's dive in.
Hey, it's Jamie Scrimger. When I became a stepmom, I quickly realized that while moms are encouraged to keep it real, there's a big double standard when it comes to stepmoms. So I decided to start the conversation myself. Thriving as a stepmom doesn't just come from conversations about being a stepmom, though. Here, we dive into marriage, relationships, personal growth, and more. My mission? Inspire you to live a kick-ass life while bringing you along as I create my own. This is the Kick-Ass Stepmom Podcast.
Okay, let's do this. Diving into the questions that you guys submitted over on Instagram. First question is, how do you handle finances when you don't agree with the money that the stepkids get? Okay, I can only speak to how we do this in our family. And you know, this is hard because when you're not on the same page about finances and support and all the things, it can be really difficult. But we happen to be pretty aligned. Now, there are definitely areas where we're not aligned, and maybe the kids get more than I think that they get or that they think that they should get or whatever. But, you know, at the end of the day, they are Darren's kids, and he gets to decide how he financially supports them. And this isn't an issue for me until it affects our household and like what we can and cannot do. Now, that hasn't come up yet. But I feel like if your partner wants to support his kids in a certain way, you know, that's his prerogative. Now, if it's coming out of your money or if it's impacting his ability to contribute to, you know, household things and what you guys are trying to accomplish together, I think that's a completely different story. But in this situation, it's not coming out of the money that I make. And as much as we are joint, Darren really is the higher income earner in the home. So I've just kind of let things go. Now, there are also times when Darren maybe thinks that something isn't necessary for the kids. And I'm like, no, I want them to have it. And then I'll just pay for it too. So we definitely have times where we trump each other, but we do have a lot of trust in each other and know that at the end of the day, we both have good intentions. A big conversation, though, that we have had when it comes to financially supporting kids, especially like as the kids are getting older now, like, you know, my stepdaughter is 21, my stepson is 19, my stepdaughter's in university, so we're supporting her, but you know, my stepson is working, he's doing an apprenticeship. And then my youngest stepson is 17. So there's a lot of conversations about how, you know, our goal in life really isn't to make their life easier, but it's to prepare them for the real world. Like there is so much value in doing things for yourself and supporting yourself and working hard. And so we talk a lot about the values we want to instill in them. So I think if you're struggling with your partner around the financial support, getting curious and having conversations with them of like what the intention is and what the long game is and why they feel like it's necessary to provide A, B, and C can be really helpful, as opposed to just going in and being like, no, we're not supporting them this, I don't agree on this, or like whatever. I will say something that was really challenging for me is coming to terms with just how much Darren wants to financially support the kids, because, you know, after like 14 years old, I was really on my own when it came to supporting myself. Like if I wanted anything extra other than like the $300 that I was going to get for back to school costs, and that was like for everything, I really had to work and I had to get it on my own. And that's definitely not the case here. So yeah, it has been a shift for me, but I do feel like we are more aligned now. All right, next question. How to communicate with your husband if you guys had a confrontation in front of the kids in real time? Okay, let's be very honest. We all say we should never argue in front of the kids. The kids should never know what's going on, blah, blah, blah. Kids can pick up on things. They know what's going on. And sometimes things happen kind of in the heat of the moment. And I'm not saying Darren and I get in full-on blowouts in front of the kids, but there are definitely times when he's called me out or I've called him out. And, you know, you really have to try not to do that. But if you do do it, I think it's important to repair and follow up with the kids and say, hey, you know, that wasn't my best self, or apologize to them, or just kind of, yeah, debrief, if you will. I do think that the partner has to be very careful discrediting a stepmom in front of the kids, because it does give the kids permission not to listen or to respect. So if he is saying like he doesn't agree with something that you are doing, and he says that in front of the kids, gosh, that really kind of impacts the way that they see you and how seriously they take you. And they can see kind of the cracks in the foundation there. So we've definitely had conversations where I have said to Darren, like, look, you cannot make me look like the bad guy in front of the kids, especially in front of one of my stepsons, who's probably been our biggest challenge. I'm like, if he sees you being disrespectful or challenging me, it gives him permission to do the same. And so never did Darren do that intentionally, but I had to kind of point that out and the message that that gives the kids. So yeah, you know what? It happens. It's very hard, right? Like life happens in real time, but that would be my thoughts on kind of just the power of following up with the kids after that. All right. What are some things that you do for yourself that you won't give up? I don't know. This was like a really tricky question for me, because I don't think I've ever given up anything that I didn't want to give up. Like it was a choice for me. And I don't think that you should ever give up anything that you don't want to give up either, right? You know, you don't have to sacrifice your well-being in order to be a good stepmom or be a good mom or all the things. But if I was to make a list of things I would not give up, skincare is super important to me. Love me some Botox. I always get my nails done. That's a big thing for me because I'm a nail biter. So if I don't have something on my nails, I will start chomping on them. And then it just like looks gross and makes me feel gross. And it just kind of like trickles in. My morning alone time is something that is really sacred to me. And listening to myself and taking a break when I need it. Like those are things that are just, I would never give that up. Like that's very, very important to me. And, you know, I guess if I think about it, some things that I've had to give up in my stepmom life is living in the house that I want to live in. Like, this is not where I want to live. Like, the house that Darren and I live in now is the house that the kids lived in with their mom, and Darren lived here. And it's in Hamlet outside of a small town that I probably would never have lived in. I don't really love like the location of the house. The house isn't my style. This is not my dream house at all. But I had to make a choice to move here because that is what I wanted for my relationship. I wanted to be with my now husband, right? So I think we have to be very careful about the language that we use. Like I had to give up living where I wanted to live, or I chose to, right? Like you made a choice, and I think we need to own that choice. And when we say things like I'm giving things up, it just adds a whole other meaning to it and a whole other layer. And it kind of is like a victim mentality. And I think we have to own the choices that we make. I think one thing that I will always do is listen to myself and check in with myself about what I need in that moment, because that is always changing. So something that's a priority to me right now might not be a priority to me later on in another season of my life. But just making sure you know that you have the power to choose and to just own the choices that you make, and then understand that if something's not working for you, you can unchoose it. So I don't know if that answers your question. I kind of went off on a little bit of a tangent, but there you go. Since red light therapy has become all the rage, I have been dying to get my hands on a red light therapy professional mask, and I recently was able to make that happen. So I've been using the Val Fleury professional LED mask, and I'm loving it. I've become super invested in doing what I can to keep my skin feeling tight and healthy and smooth. You know, I'm coming up on 38, and red light therapy has become a regular part of my regime. So here's the deal. The Val Fleury Professional LED Mask is medical grade light therapy proven to enhance your natural skin. So the mask emits three clinically proven wavelengths of red, yellow, and blue that penetrates deep into the skin. So it stimulates collagen production, it diminishes fine lines and wrinkles, it reduces the signs of sun damage and aging, and just promotes healthier, younger looking skin. The mask has settings for red, blue, and yellow light, which is unreal. So you can just like switch the light with a click of the button. So the red light therapy reduces fine lines and wrinkles, reduces the appearance of pigmentation and redness, and just promotes healthier, younger looking skin.
Then the yellow light therapy rejuvenates skin cells, smooths inflamed skin, boosts lymphatic flow, and promotes anti-aging. And then the blue light improves skin texture, helps remove sunspots and acne, and even scars that were originally caused by acne. So it's kind of like a 3-in-1. There's no downtime. You just do a 10-minute treatment for 3 to 5 times every week for about 4 to 6 weeks, and then just follow maintenance as desired. I'm already starting to see a difference. I have also been using the 360 LED skincare wand. So like picture just like a little wand that you put on your skin. And this has actually been my favorite. So the skincare wand combines 4 science-backed skincare treatments in one. And it's this portable, rechargeable tool. So if you're traveling, you can just bring it. No big deal. Super easy. So it has red light therapy, a current facial massage, and therapeutic warmth. So I've been putting it under my eyes, and you can just kind of go back and forth on your problem areas in just 3 minutes. And this addresses fine lines, puffiness, blemishes, dark circles, dull skin, and maturing skin. So Val Fleury is giving listeners of the Kick-Ass Stepmom podcast a 20% off their order, which is huge. So if you go to www.valfleuryskin.com, that's www.valfleuryskin.com, and use the code Jamie20 at checkout, you can get 20%. I highly recommend adding the LED face mask and wand into your skincare regime. www.valfleuryskin.com and use the code Jamie20 at checkout for 20% off. I love traveling, and I especially love to go somewhere hot during our gross Canadian winters and early spring when the weather is just yuck. But what I don't love is that bloated, puffy, gross feeling that I can get when I fly. And I like to avoid this when I'm traveling at all costs. So when I'm in the airport, I always have my 40-ounce Stanley full of water and an Element watermelon salt. Element is my go-to electrolyte drink and is a must pack when we are traveling. Not only is it a must on the airplane, when we're away, it's also part of my daily routine. So first of all, extra cocktails are kind of the norm when we're away at events or on vacation. And when I'm away, fun fact, I actually work out more on vacation than I do at home. I just love hitting up the hotel gyms. The calendar is clear. I love going for hikes and just getting out there. So in all of those situations, hydration is key. So Element is basically always in my bag. Again, Element is my go-to electrolyte drink mix. I swear by it and have been drinking it daily for a couple years now. Staying hydrated is crucial and is a huge priority of mine. And proper hydration just isn't about drinking water. It means having adequate water and electrolytes. It tastes great, has no BS ingredients, no sugar, no artificial coloring, and you feel good drinking it. Formulated to help anyone with their electrolyte needs, from professional athletes to everyday moms, even if you're on a keto or low carb or paleo diet. And it's also approved in the metabolic balance program that I have been doing as well. A growing body of research reveals that optimal health occurs at sodium levels that are 2 to 3 times the government recommendation. That's why Element is all about more salt and not less. Each stick has 100 milligrams of sodium, 200 milligrams of potassium, and 60 milligrams of magnesium. I have one every single day. My favorite flavors are raspberry and watermelon. Darren likes orange and lime. And when you purchase Element using my link, you get a free sample pack with all the flavors so you can decide which one is your fave. Head to www.drinkelement.com/kickassstepmom to get a free sample pack with purchase. That's www.drinkelement.com/kickassstepmom to get a free sample pack with purchase. Purchasing through this link is also a great way to support the show. All right, how to deal with the BM. It always sounds like if you're not in this stepmom space, it's like BM is like bowel movement. I don't know, but BM is birth mom. How do you handle it when BM threatens your life? Okay, so if mom is threatening your life, I would call the damn police or you're going to end up on Dateline. Like you're going to end up in a trunk. So that is kind of where I draw the line, like threats to your well-being. You need to make sure that you are taking that seriously and, you know, letting them know you threaten my well-being one more time, I'm going to contact the police, because that is crazy.
Has your child support lessened over the years, or has the ex ever agreed to less? Well, okay, no, our child support hasn't lessened. So my husband's business has grown over the years. So with that, the child support has grown. So with our agreement and where we live and how it all works, child support is reevaluated every June based on what the person has made the year before. So we don't actually pay child support on three kids anymore because my stepkids are older, right? The two older ones. But the number has kind of gone up over time because of the change in my husband's income. So it's recalculated every year, if that makes sense. Do you ever disengage and let Darren handle his own kids while you focus on Reese? So I guess when the kids were younger, this maybe is more applicable, but we have really always had defined roles in our family. Like, we're super traditional to an extent. So I do a lot of stuff for the kids, and Darren does a lot of like the blue jobs. Like, if we were to have like back in the day, traditional marriage type situation. So there really is no, these are your kids, this is my kid, you have to take care of your kid. Like, it's not like that. There's always been this assumption that we will take care of our given roles. And then if I need support, or if I need help, or if we're in a new season, then we can readjust. So for example, pick up and drop off and getting the kids to hockey when Darren was at work, or clothes for the kids and meal planning and grocery shopping, laundry, organizing things, managing our schedule. Like, I'd say I'm like the CEO of the home, like inside the home and the kids. That's all me. It always has been me. And I think about this a lot when it comes to running families. And we actually just touched on this in another podcast episode, but we look at our home as running it as a business. And I think if you have two people who are trying to be maybe the CEO or, you know, the same role, for instance, you're going to run into a lot of conflict and overlap and miscommunication and things getting missed and assumptions about who's doing what. So I think there's a lot of power in having more defined roles in your responsibilities. And we've definitely reevaluated those based on the different seasons of our life. So to answer your question about, do you ever disengage and let Darren handle his own kids? So when I had Reese and there was tons going on with the kids, I needed Darren to step up a bit with the other kids, with driving and extracurriculars and hockey, things that were happening after school when he was still in work, because I was in a season where I had a newborn baby and I just needed that support. So I was still in charge of making sure everything was done for the kids, because that's just kind of how we had decided to run our home. But I was kind of asking for support in that situation. And for me, disengaging has never been like, I'm not doing anything for the kids. Like, this is your kid, this is my kid. It's really been about discipline and direction. Those are the main areas that I've disengaged. So if we're in a tough season with one of my stepkids and I feel like me giving them any direction or telling them that they need to do something, things like that, I always disengage and take a step back from that and let Darren be kind of the heavy. So those are the areas where I disengage. When it comes to Reese, though, I'm definitely like Reese's primary parent, hands down. And I probably consult Darren less for decisions with the kids, with her, than with the other kids. I'm always like running everything by him. So super loaded answer again. But if you're wondering if you should disengage, because there is so much power in disengaging and kind of taking a step back when things don't feel like they're working, I do actually have a quiz to kind of help you navigate this. So it's a few short questions and it'll tell you whether disengaging is the right move for you. And then if it is, I kind of walk you through a really healthy, powerful way to disengage in a way that can help improve things in your stepfamily dynamic. Because I do think when stepmoms get into the place where we're like, not my kid, not my problem, you do your kid, I'm not doing anything, like screw this, that kind of disengaging mentality, it actually creates a lot of issues in your marriage and, you know, issues with your stepkids. And it's kind of hard to come back from that place. So I have some thoughts on disengaging and you can kind of get all of that in the quiz. All right, switching gears for this question, what is your makeup routine? Okay, oh geez. All my makeup is from HB Face. It's very simple. She's based out of Toronto and has an online shop. She ships all over. She has a couple studios as well where they do brows and lashes and all the things there. So that is where I get all of my makeup. It's a super simple routine. She has so much information over on her Instagram. So check out HB Face on Instagram. But I am actually an affiliate for HB Face. So if you're looking for new, good makeup, a simple makeup routine, kind of like that dewy glow, head to hbface.com/JamieScrimger and you can use the code HBJamie and you can get 20% off. So that's really exciting. Alrighty, moving into their home. How do I make it feel less like hers? Okay. This is such a long process and you have to take baby steps. I look back and I don't think I felt like this was my home for a few years. Now, it was a little different because I was young, like I was 26 years old. I'd never had a home of my own. I had lived in an apartment with my sister and kind of another apartment with a previous boyfriend, but I didn't know what it felt like to have like a home, a sense of home. So it was really tricky for me moving into the house where Darren lived in during his first marriage. Like I remember unpacking my bags and opening a drawer in the bathroom and there were like things, her old makeup was in there. You know, there was stuff in closets. Her wedding dress was still in my stepson's closet. Like her stuff was still very much here, stuff that she had kind of left over. And the house was just not my style. And it was really, really hard. And so part of me is like, well, you have to make it your own if you want it to feel like yours. But you run into so many issues because the kids don't want change, or your partner doesn't want the change, or you don't have the money to do a renovation. Like everything is really expensive. So it can take a long time. One thing we did do, we painted the bedroom and redid the bedroom. That was like had to happen, the number one thing that we did. And then we did save up and did a kitchen renovation about 2 to 3 years after I moved in. And then recently we've done like a bigger renovation. But I really struggle when I hear stepmoms tell me about their partner not wanting to make any changes to the home. Like it's almost like they want you to move in and just be slot into this role. Like other wife moves out and new wife moves in. It's just like a wife swap. And I don't think that's fair. I think if you're going to move into the house where they lived in, you do need to talk about ways that you're going to make it feel like your home too. So I don't know. I go back and forth about whether I regret staying here or whether we should have pushed for a new home. But we live in such a small area and the kids needed to go to school here. And if we moved out of this area, then they wouldn't have been able to go to the same school because my husband's ex had moved into town. So it was just the right decision at the time. But I don't know. I go back and forth. I think about it a lot now because we're just at this place where we don't know where our forever home is. Like, is this our forever home? I don't think it is. I think Darren thinks it is. I don't know. Again, I'm super long-winded today, but that's my tips. I think you need to talk to your partner about it and just get really real about how this makes you feel. But, you know, paint, some pillows, that kind of stuff can go a long way. All right, next, she never lets me have the kids when he is out of town. Okay, I see both sides to this. I actually had a really good conversation with Samantha Boss. She's a divorce coach in the membership about first right. And she doesn't like first right. She doesn't think there should be any opportunity for the ex to be like, no, the kids should be with me if their dad isn't going to be there. I see, again, both sides to it. When Darren and I got together, whenever it was just going to be me with the kids, we would always give the ex first right and say, like, do you want the kids? We are going to get a babysitter that night, or, you know, Jamie's going to be with the kids. And I think at first it was if it was more than 3 hours, which was ridiculous. But then afterwards, I think it's over 24 hours or 48 hours, you have to give the ex first right. And I do see the point of that. So I guess if you're struggling with that, understand this is kind of normal. It's often written in a lot of legal agreements as well, that if dad can't be with the kids, then mom gets first right before there's a babysitter or something like that. So as much as it sucks, I think there is a lot of power in giving the ex first right. And here's the thing, if you don't make a big deal about this now, eventually she's going to get used to you, she's going to get over it, and it won't be as much of an issue. But if you really push back on it now and be like, no, I want them to stay with their stepmom, she's just going to get pissed and it'll draw more attention to the issue. So I would continue giving first right. Do you consider yourself a parent to your stepkids? Bio mom says that I'm not. Well, I think it depends on the situation, but you need to stop giving her so much power over how you feel and what you are. Like, she doesn't need to think that you're a parent, whatever, right? Like, obviously, that's more about her. If you feel like you've developed that relationship to the kids and that's the role that you're playing in your home, who gives a shit about what she says? There's just so many stepmoms who are waiting for ex's approval and they're never going to get it. I was actually on Sarah Nicole Landry, so she's the Birds Papaya, her podcast the other day. And we were talking about her reaction to when her ex moved on with someone else. And she said, as soon as she found out her ex-husband had a new girlfriend, she was like, oh my God, amazing. Someone is here to help and love these kids. Like, she was just like jacked about it. She's also never met this woman. And I think she just sees her as a support, like another person to love their kids. And I think that's the difference between a confident and a strong, secure woman who, again, is secure with their relationship with their kids as well. For some reason, you've threatened her. You make her feel insecure. Maybe she feels like you've overstepped. Like, I don't know what's kind of happened here, but just don't give her that permission. Like, she doesn't have to consider you a parent for you to consider yourself a parent. Like, she doesn't get to decide how you show up for these kids when they're in your home. So for me, yeah, I consider myself a parent, but I would say I'm more of a parent to my youngest stepson. He's 17. He was 5 when I first came. And not so much as a parent, but more of a mentor to my stepdaughter. Like, I don't think I've ever really parented her. Well, maybe I have a little bit. I don't know. We have more of a casual relationship. Like, we're close, but it's just, I don't know. I've never had to really get her in shit. And I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I'm a parent to my middle stepson. It really depends on the day. But yeah, there's so many variables, right? I'm a big believer in the whole look good, feel good mentality. And I know that when I am feeling at my best, when I am taking care of myself, when I am taking care of my body and nourishing myself, all the things, I am so much more equipped to deal with the extra stress that comes with, you know, our stepfamily dynamic. Now, if you listen to episode I did with Jen Vasey, I think it was episode 214, since September 2023, I have been doing the Metabolic Balance Program, and it has been basically a game changer for me and my body and for how I feel in general. I think this is the best money that I've ever spent on myself. I got into my mid-30s and all of a sudden I was gaining weight. I was feeling fluffy. I was tired. And no matter what I did with my diet or exercise, it was like nothing was budging. I didn't know what else to do. So I decided to try the Metabolic Balance Program and just commit to working with Jen. And so here is the lowdown on the Metabolic Balance Program. So it is a science-backed, all-natural nutrition program that pairs the chemistry of your blood values with the chemistry of food and uses food to heal. So by knowing the exact foods that are right for you to orchestrate change in the body, you will achieve less inflammation, stabilize your blood sugars, have consistent energy, have a healthy digestive system, hormonal balance, and just optimal body weight. So basically, with this program, you go and get your blood tested, they take your results, and they create a custom nutrition plan for you. So my girlfriend's food list was completely different than mine. In fact, her food list, I felt like it was a lot better. I was a little upset about that, but it was so crazy. Anyway, it has been such a success for me and so many other women who I have connected with, and I highly recommend checking her out. So if you are feeling like the scale won't budge, if you're not feeling confident, your hormones are off, all of the things, it's truly such a game changer. So if you're interested in starting on that wellness journey with Jen, you can contact Jen Vasey and find her on Instagram at jen.the.rhn. So Jen Vasey on Instagram, jen.the.rhn. Again, this was the best money I have ever spent on myself, and I feel like I am telling any woman who will listen about this program. And when you're talking to Jen, let her know that I sent you, or you can use the code KICKASSSTEPMOM and you can save $100 off the investment, which is huge. What would you do if Darren didn't want to get married again? Do you think you'd be in the same place? Well, no, we wouldn't be in the same place. We wouldn't be married. No, sorry, I'm just being a jerk. I don't know what our lives would be like. I wanted to get married. Like, that was something that I was super clear about from the very beginning. Like, I remember we were lying on the bed and I think we had gone on, we've been together for like a couple months. And I said, you know, you've done things that I want to do in my life. And we talked about it. Like, I wanted to have a baby. I wanted to get married. I wanted to do those things. And I was just super clear from the very beginning. And I think it's hard because There's a lot of stepmoms who tiptoe around what their partner wants and don't want to stand in their truth about what they want for their lives because they are scared of what their partner's reaction is going to be, or maybe they don't want that, or all these things. But I think before we really commit to another person, we need to commit to ourselves and get super clear on what we want for our lives and what we want that to look like and kind of stand in that power. And you can advocate for yourself in that. And, you know, if you and your partner don't want the same things in life, then maybe you don't want the same things in life. And I know that's such a hard truth, but you need to have these conversations and not be scared of their reaction when you're dating them. Because if they have an opinion when they're dating, it's probably going to be the same opinion when you're married, or not when you're married, but when you want to get married. Okay, I'm living with young adult stepkids, like 18 to 21, help. I have nothing for you. I have nothing for you. It has been way more challenging than I ever thought. Man, it's tough because when they're young adults, they think that they're an adult and they want to carry on like an adult, but then they're in your house. So they're actually not full on adults because they're not carrying on like adults and paying their own bills and doing their own, like having their own responsibilities. So I will say that I find myself way more triggered by my adult stepson than my younger stepson, by things like dishes and messes and things like that. Cause I'm like, you're over 18. Like you have a choice. You don't have to be here. If you don't like the rules and the expectations here, like you can go and find your own accommodations. And I feel like I'm probably a little less triggered when the kids are younger because I'm just like, okay, well, they're still kids. And I do struggle with this because I'm like, I was out on my own when I was 18. I went to university. I moved home for a brief period of time in there, but for the most part, I was on my own ever since I was making a consistent income. So the problem is, it's just such a different time financially, right? Like getting an apartment when I was, you know, 20 years old was like $500 a month. Like now getting apartments like $2,000 a month plus, right? And like you can't even walk out of the grocery store without spending $50 and you don't even know what you bought these days. Like life is so expensive. So the expectation that kids when they're 19, 20, 21 are going to be living on their own if they're not working full time or not making good money, or even when they are making good money, it's like life is just so expensive. So again, I'm rambling, but I don't have any advice for that other than I think it's really important that you and your partner need to be on the same page and your partner needs to have your back. I would say that Darren and I are 70% on the same page with this, and it's still really hard. So if you're dealing with like an adult stepkid too that you don't have a good relationship with, there's like this shift in energy and you feel like you're walking on eggshells in your home and it feels debilitating, especially if it's full time and there really is no break. So it really is so challenging, but I think getting super clear on rules and expectations for the home, treating them like they're an adult while still reminding them that they're under your roof and like there's going to be expectations, needs to happen. And yeah, I'm just like sending you positive vibes because it's no joke. All right. What does your daily routine look like now, specifically with workouts and health and wellness? Well, routine is something that I'm actually really struggling with right now. In human design, I'm actually a projector. And one of the characteristics is that I'm not meant for every day to be the same and for my output to be the same every day. And so I've been kind of leaning into this because it's like, one day I could be super strict, balls to the walls, super disciplined, get so much work done. And then other days I just can't focus and things don't feel aligned. So I've really been giving myself grace and just listening to how I feel on any given day when it comes to workouts, health, wellness, routines, like all of that. Now, that being said, when I am on my game, I'm usually up at 5. I like to get myself a coffee. I do some journaling and some reading, just like a couple pages. And when I wake up, my mind is already going. It's just how I am. Like I want to dive right back into work. And I find it really challenging not to do that. So sometimes I do work. Sometimes I go do a workout. Lately, I've been really into weights. I hate cardio at this point in my life. So just doing some weights, free weights, maybe Pilates, a little bit of yoga. And then Reese wakes up at 7 and she has tutor at 7:30 most days before school. And so if I didn't do a workout before she woke up, I will do a workout afterwards. And then, yeah, that's just kind of what my morning looks like. When it comes to wellness, it's just like a lot of water. Always make sure I get my electrolytes in. I'm a huge fan of Element. As you know, they've been a sponsor of the podcast for a while now. And just eating healthy, trying to drink lots of water. I do the metabolic reset program or the metabolic balance program. My coach was on the podcast a few episodes ago, Jen Vasey, talking about that. And I really do try to stick to that program the best I can. So there's 5 rules in that program. And it is like, there's 4 to 5 hours between every meal. There's a certain amount of water. I have foods that are specific for my body, like that my body really likes. So I eat from a specific food list. I would say 75% of the time. Try not to have sugar. I'm pretty strict on that. And what else? Kind of stick to that program. It's been a game changer for me. I could not lose weight, or I just was not feeling confident in myself for the longest time. And when I switched and did that program, it has been a game changer. So if you're actually interested in the information, shoot me a message and I can connect you with her. But yeah, so good. That's basically my routine right now, though. Next question is, what have you done to get through your recent struggles with your stepson? Look, I struggle talking about this because there's an element of things that I think need to remain private, but I also have a platform where I'm supporting stepmom, so I feel like I need to be real, right? So it is a challenge. Some relationships are just challenging. And for me, self-care has been huge. So when I'm doing the things I just talked about, like wellness routines and, you know, waking up early, journaling, going to therapy, prioritizing my marriage, I'm far less likely to be triggered by him and our issues than when I'm not taking care of myself. So I'm really pouring into myself during this time. And I do actually have a workshop in the Kick-Ass Stepmom community just for strategies on improving your relationship with your stepkids. And these strategies have been really helpful for me on particularly challenging times. So it's like taking your cues from them, taking a step back when you feel like, you know, they're not really that receptive to you, letting your partner take the lead, positive reinforcement, humanizing yourself, being vulnerable, like all of those things have really helped. All right, tips to stop stalking the ex's social media. Okay, look, we've all been there, creeping the ex. Like if you've never looked at your husband's ex or your partner's ex's social media, first of all, I don't believe you. You haven't at least searched her up. Maybe you have, I don't know, but I think it's pretty common. But you can get to the point where it almost feels like an addiction and you have to stop it. Like it is not productive. It is not necessary. It's not really any of your business. And when you go and look, like when you're taking time out of your day to go look at the ex's social media, I want you to ask yourself, like, what am I hoping to achieve? You're literally going there to feel triggered. You're going to go there to get pissed off. You're going to go there to have some sort of negative interaction. Like you're not going there to be like, oh my gosh, like her pants look so nice on her. Like what a great outfit. Or, oh my God, that's amazing. She had such a great weekend. Or she got a really nice new bag. Like I'm happy for her. You're not going there to look at her social media and think those things. So I think you need to be real. Like, why am I doing this? I'm literally just trying to torture myself. If you have a problem with this, or if you don't want to do this, block her account, make it so you can't even go when you have that urge. I am a huge believer that you don't need access to everyone's social media in your life. Just you got to stop because it's not healthy. So I would wake up every day and be like, okay, I'm not going to look at her page today. Like that's what I want you to do. Like take it one day at a time. Cause again, it can be an addiction, but you got to stop. All right. Last question. Would you do it all again? Would you become a stepmom again? I don't know. Like some days I'm like, what was I thinking, to be quite honest? But I love my husband and I love the life we've built together. It's hard. Sometimes I look at other families and I'm like, wow, that just looks so simple. The mom, the dad, the kids. There's no child support. There's no co-parenting. There's no bullshit. But guess what? There is bullshit. There's something going on inside their doors too, right? The four walls of their home. And everyone has their stuff. Everyone has their complications. And I think it's really easy to look at non-blended families and think it's so easy. And in comparison to some of the things that are complicated for us, 100% it is easy. But there's also things that maybe you have easier than them. Like everyone has their stuff. So I really feel like I wouldn't change a thing because I don't think that's a healthy way to go through life. Like I've made decisions. I stood by those decisions. You know, I'm proud of the life that we've created together. Did I know it was going to be this hard? No, I did not know it was going to be this hard, but here we are. So I just don't want to live my life in a space of regret. If Darren and I were split, would I marry someone with kids again? Oh God, I don't think so. But you know, I'm happy here where we are. No, I really am. All right. That's it for this one, guys. This was kind of like a whole mixed bag of questions, but hopefully you liked it. And if you want to hear more solo podcast episodes, please let me know. It's always something that I kind of avoid doing, but yeah, this one was kind of fun. So if you have questions you want me to answer on the podcast, if you have any suggestions or things you want to hear Darren and I talk about, shoot me a DM over on Instagram and we will see what we can do. But yeah, that's it for this one. And we will chat next week. That's it for this one. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if this episode resonated with you, I'd be so grateful if you could share it with someone in your life who you think could benefit from it. And if you haven't already left a rating and a review on iTunes, it really is the best way to support the show. And if you're craving more real talk and coaching and community, be sure to check out my membership, the Kickass Stepmom Community. Head to www.kickassstepmom.com to learn more.